friends, Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. Good morning and welcome on this beautiful Easter morning here to Gates Presbyterian Church. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. Take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements in there, and you can learn more online about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities, how we are church together. If you have questions about our worship service today, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions that you might have. There are hospitality registers in your pews, and at any point, just take a look at those and sign them, pass them along. That way we're able to greet one another by name. Just a few announcements as we begin. Today we will be welcoming everyone to stay in worship, and we love the wiggles and giggles and squawks and cries of our youngest and our oldest members. So if you need to wiggle just a bit, don't worry about it at all. Please do. But caregivers, if at any time you would like to utilize our nursery, we do have one. It's just down the hall right here, and we have wonderful, experienced caregivers there to greet you. Also, one quick announcement about our last Sunday. This month, we are going to be having an intergenerational worship service to celebrate Earth Day. Come ready to play in the dirt. There will be cleaner options available as well for those who choose, but all are welcome to come for this very unique experience. All right, what we've all been waiting for. Christ has risen. Alleluia. Christ has risen indeed. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
are comfortable and able for the call to worship. In Bethlehem, God's love came to the world. In Galilee, Jesus walked the roads, hills, and water. In Calvary, the hatred of the world displayed.
To reveal the darkness of sin and death.
In the empty tomb, the risen Lord meets us there.
To bring us new life. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
And the Bible says, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, we shall be forgiven of all unrighteousness. Please join me in unison in the prayer of confession. Emptier of tombs, on this morning of Alleluias, we confess we've been here before. We accept the witness of the angel in the tomb, but find it difficult to share this good news with our friends and neighbors. We haven't done any great evil, but we have failed to do good when we had the chance. We are dragged down by all manner of death. Fear may suffocate us. The loss of dreams and hopes for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our nation. On this Easter morning, we pray that you will fill us with fear and great joy, so that, like those women who came to the tomb expecting death, we may instead find the radiant new life that is ever before us in your resurrection. Amen. This is the good news. God raised Jesus from death, turning sorrow into joy and despair into hope. All is made new on this resurrection morning. Alleluia and amen.
At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. This can be children of any age. Good morning. How are you? Are you having a good evening? Do I get a hug? All right. Oh my goodness, yes you did. Is it feeling better?
Oh my goodness. It happens, doesn't it?
Good morning. Happy Easter. Good morning. Oh my goodness. And look, we've got to make sure we've got people to help Fron up, too, so, all right? You guys help me with that? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to see you all. You all look very beautiful and handsome. Yes? Feeling good? Yes. Are you guys ready to celebrate Easter?
I have a secret.
Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me know. We'll put up the germ block right there, okay? All right. So in just a few minutes, we are going to share in the Easter story. I bet some of you have heard that one before, huh? Yes. This past week, we learned about how Jesus died on the cross, and then 3 days later, two of his friends, who were named Mary, went to the grave. Now, the book of Matthew tells us that the two Marys were Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. So, I have a question. When there are two kids in class with the same name, what does the teacher do to be able to know who they are? What happens? First letter of the last name, that's so right on. Who has that happen at school? Yeah, it used to happen to me a lot too. So I'm going to call Mary Magdalene, Mary M, and I'm going to call Mary, we don't know her last name, they just call her the other Mary. We'll call her Mary O, okay? So Mary M and Mary O are going to the grave this day. A few days ago, remember, they had been with their friend Joseph, and they had laid Jesus' body in the tomb. And Joseph took a gigantic rock and he rolled it in front of the tomb because people were very worried that someone was going to come and steal Jesus. In fact, some people even sent guards to guard the tomb and to watch out. And so when Mary O and Mary M went to the grave on Easter morning, it was very dark. And when they got there, that big stone was still in front of the grave. And then something happened. Matthew tells us that there was an earthquake. Has anyone ever been in an earthquake? Anyone? Yeah, me neither. Okay. Me neither. I don't know. Apparently they're really scary, but I've never been in one. And then an angel came down from heaven. And do you know what the angel did? he sat on top of the rock. I imagine that that rock was so big that angels sat on top. And do you ever get into a seat where it is too big for you and your feet kind of swing? Has that ever happened to you? Happens to me too. I'm not real tall. So I see this angel on top of the rock with his feet swinging, and the rock moves. God moves the rock, and the angel says to Mary-O and Mary-M, look inside. Jesus isn't there anymore. But God didn't move the rock for Jesus, because Jesus had already come back to life. God moved the rock so that we could look inside and see the good news that God's love is more powerful than anything. It is bigger than even the biggest rock. And we celebrate today that God's love is for you and you and you. And yes, you too, my friend. Can you hold on to your two things? Can you repeat after me two things? Alleluia. Can you give me an alleluia? You got to give me the alleluia. Alleluia. Come on. How about all of you guys who want to help him? Can we say alleluia? Alleluia. That's what we say on Easter morning because it means yay, God. Alleluia. Can you say alleluia again? Let me hear. How about yay, God? You say that? Yay, God. All right. So I have for you today some stones, some rocks to help us all remember that God's love is bigger than the biggest rocks. Okay, if I give you a rock, you have to promise me one thing, that you won't throw it at your brother or sister. Can you promise me that? Okay. Mom and dads, if we think that that rule can't be kept, you can hang on to the rock, okay? All right, here we go. And you can go back and sit with your parents, okay? There, don't throw it. All right. Rocks for you guys. Give one to your brother. One for you. For you. If you guys stick around, I might have an extra. One for you.
The Avengers are real.
The Avengers are real. No promises? Okay. Well, we celebrate grace and forgiveness on a day like today, too. You good? All right. Here you go.
The first reading of the word this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's version of the resurrection story. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, for he has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." "Were you there?" echoes the hauntingly beautiful African-American spiritual that has been our theme this year for Lent here at GPC. But this morning we leave that question back with the Roman guards placed outside Jesus' tomb following his crucifixion. Because this morning we proclaim the Alleluias of Easter and join the women in their testimony that God gives life to the dead. He has risen, just as he said. And this changes everything. Though I'm not entirely convinced that this change happened instantaneously for those who were there, it may have been a little bit more of a gradual shift in perspective. We might wonder if it took the eyes of the women a bit of time to adjust to the darkness, to the dawn on the first day when they went to look at the tomb. After all, it was just a few days ago that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there with Joseph of Arimathea to wrap the body in a clean linen cloth and place it in a rock-hewn tomb. They were there when Joseph rolled that big stone in front of the entrance tomb. And it was the women who were the ones who sat staring opposite the tomb when Pilate sent the guards to be sure that no one was going to steal the body. We do not know if this morning the gaze of the women focused on the hope that Easter was coming, or if their eyes were still swollen in grief, fixed upon the way things were. I suppose it all depends on your perspective. You see, from the very beginning of Matthew's telling of Jesus' story, he never shied away from showing us the details of how things really were. How Jesus' birth enraged the instability of a national leader who issued the order of the slaughter of innocent children, and at the same time inspired the courage of his parents to sacrifice their safety and become refugees to protect this child who the angel called Emmanuel, God with us. Come and follow me, Jesus would say to the disciples, and he constantly revealed to them that being his disciple meant a shift in perspective, that seeing the world as God sees the world, not of power from the top down, but one that builds from the bottom up with compassion and mercy, to see first the vulnerable and the weak, the poor and the hungry, is to see the kingdom of heaven come near. And as one opinion writer reminded me this week, that at the time of his arrest, this man had not held a fixed residence for years. He had prior run-ins with local authorities for his unauthorized distribution of food and disruptive public behavior. Some say that his brutal punishment at the hands of the state was out of proportion and unrelated to any of the incidents in his record. Maybe we just needed to be there to see this for ourselves. And so instead this morning we rely on what the women saw. All of the gospel accounts tell the story that the women were there to see him first. Mark says that Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene and no one believed her. For Luke, the women received instructions from two men in dazzling clothes, and no one believed them either. In John's gospel, the tearful Mary Magdalene is first to see and speak with Jesus. And Matthew also has the women coming first to the tomb, but not with their eyes clenched shut in denial of his death, nor with wide-eyed optimism that everything was, is, or will be just fine. Perhaps they came to see that it just couldn't get any worse. And it is Matthew who, through the voice of the angel, invites the women to look once more into the tomb, to stare their worst fears and disappointments straight on. And then he shifts their gaze. He changes their perspective from the grave to out into the world where Jesus promises that, yes, Easter is coming. Resurrection does not remove the hardships or limitations and challenges of life, but envisions for us possibilities that we simply could not have seen. God had not intervened, first in the raising of Jesus and again by entering into our lives to look at what the rest of the world simply fails to notice. That when we look at the violence, injustice, and oppression in the world, while so many claim death will have the last word, we envision the possibilities that God is working among us. And this is not the end. It is merely the beginning of the possibilities to change all our perspectives. Friends, Easter is coming. But for many of us, this is not the ultimate reality. There is too much pain and suffering in the world today. Death has the last word. It would therefore be foolish to say the life and death of a first century Jew named Jesus makes a difference. Why? Might makes right. Power is superior to compassion, and despair is stronger than hope. So I refuse to believe that a man can come back from the dead. Sometimes the most important facts are the hardest to accept. Resurrection is a false hope. How can you say an empty tomb changes everything? Don't you see? God loves the world is a lie. Money is God. And the one who dies with the most toys wins. I will tell you what I tell my children. There is no more to this world than what you can see, hold, and buy. There is no mystery in everyday life, and there is nothing sacred about ordinary things and people. Many of us simply do not want to believe that God can give life to the dead, bring light from darkness, and create something out of nothing. But what if the testimony of the women at the tomb was true? Then God can give life to the dead, bring light from darkness, and create something out of nothing. Many of us simply do not believe that there is nothing sacred about ordinary things and people. There is no mystery in everyday life. There is no more to this world than what you can see, hold, and buy. I will tell you what I tell my children. The one who dies with the most toys wins is a lie. God loves the world, don't you see? An empty tomb changes everything. How can you say resurrection is a false hope? Sometimes the most important facts are the hardest to accept. A man can come back from the dead. So I refuse to believe despair is stronger than hope. Power is superior to compassion, and might makes right. Why? The life and death of a first century Jew named Jesus makes a difference. It would therefore be foolish to say death has the last word. There is too much pain and suffering in the world today. But for many of us, this is not the ultimate reality. Easter is coming. Alleluia, friends. Easter is coming. And this changes everything.
Thank you.
now let us join our hearts together for a time of prayer. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we sing Alleluia with the fullness of hearts, that indeed Christ is risen and love is stronger than death. O Holy One, in the joy and hope of this Easter morning, in the midst of our singing, we know that there are those who were bewildered and sad. We pray for those who have little hope, who suffer from depression and loneliness and fear. And we pray for those places and people in our world where death and domination rule, where powers ignore the poor, war never ends, where children are hungry, and parents grieve because they cannot provide. We pray for those where accidents happen and death abounds senselessly. We pray for those held hostage to addiction and chronic illness. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, we realize the depth and breadth of what it means to be your Easter people. For we are the ones who are called to go into the places in our lives and world to work for justice and life for all your creation. God, we hear your call, that it is up to us to bear witness to the promise of resurrection, to hold those in despair, believe for them that love is stronger than death. In the joy and hope of this Easter morning, oh God, give us the courage to bear your living love in every corner of our lives, so that your peaceable realm will be so here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray using the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we also know that God's abundance is greater than our perceived scarcity. God has entrusted all of creation to our care, and we joyfully offer back to God a portion of that abundance. Let us receive our morning offering.
greet at that door. Thank you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, we rejoice in Jesus' victory over death. You raised him up to live forever. He left behind his linen wrappings, the shroud, his grave clothes. Robed in white, Christ leads us from darkness to light. Help us to follow him, leaving behind the things of our past that obscure our horizons. We dedicate these offerings as tokens of the breaking dawn of Christ. May our gratitude shine forth by our joyfully giving of our earthly goods. Amen.
As if death has no power over us. Live as if your life counts for something. Because friends, they do. Go forth, know that you are loved by a God that is more powerful than even death itself. Go with the resurrecting grace of Jesus Christ and the courage the Holy Spirit to live it. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed.